the bucket and dashed around the APC. Thrusting his stick into the hard-packed sand, Doc squatted on his heels.
Ah, the vigor of youth. Pity it's wasted on the young.
As Mildred fed the fire, Ryan watched the growing shadows, maintaining a constant vigil. The moonlight on the water gave a clear field of fire in case somebody approached by boat or swam toward shore. There was no smell of salt here. This water fed from several inland rivers and flowed to the sea in a sort of natural harbor. The light from the fire had nearly disappeared to the east. The shoreline was empty for more than a mile to the south, and dense forest was to the north. It wasn't the best of spots for a camp, but good enough for one night. Nobody could get close without being detected. Carrying a brimming bucket, Dean returned to find Doc breaking sticks of driftwood over his knee and adding them a piece at a time to the crackling campfire. Mildred was already stirring a pot of stew, a row of tin mess kits laid out with salt and forks. With his back to the APC, Dean's father stood guard, the AK-47 balanced in his hands.
Over here.
The boy complied, and his father checked the water with a rad counter. There was only the usual background reading.
Clean enough. Better filtered anyway.
Okay.
Carefully, Dean poured the fluid through a clean piece of cloth and filled a large coffee pot. Placing it next to the fire, Mildred added a handful of crystals, and soon the smell of beef stew and coffee spread across the site, the campfire throwing shadows on the side of the APC as night slowly claimed the smoky Carolina sky. JB called out, wiggling the toe of a combat boot.
Hey, is that coffee I smell?
Sure is. Want some?
Pretty soon. Is Christy inside?
Yeah.
Ask her to try the main engine.
I heard.
Climbing down from the turret, the redhead took the driver's seat, turned the ignition, and pumped the gas pedal as the engine struggled to catch. She shouted out the side blaster port.
Nothing.
Only a slice of the road was visible through the tiny slit, showing the legs of the armorer underneath the APC and Ryan standing near an open toolbox. There was some more clanging.
Again!
With little hope, Christy turned the key and was astonished when the big Detroit power plant roared into life, gray smoke puffing from the louvered exhaust ports.
Damn, I'm good!
Turning off the engine, Christy waited a few moments, then turned it on again. She did this several times.
We have an engine again. Runs smooth as silk.
Good work.
Ryan gave JB a hand as he crawled out into view. Standing, JB placed the lantern aside.
Yeah, but not good news, because engine is all we have.
He was inspecting a shiny ring of metal.
What's that?
A bearing cone.
Ryan moved closer.
Never saw one before.
Folks aren't supposed to. These are sealed units and don't come off or apart.
From the Hummer?
No, it's ours, and I found two more on the ground. That was the grinding noise. The bearings are busted.
JB placed some tools in the kit and closed the box.
We took shrapnel damage from that satchel charge. The minor engine is leaking coolant from a bad crack in the block. I used some parts from the main engine to patch the second, so we have lights and heat. But as for going anywhere, the wag might as well be sunk in concrete. The transmission assembly is in pieces. Don't know how we got this far.
The man began wiping his greasy hands with a rag soaked in fuel. When most of the black was rubbed off, he walked to the campfire and poured a cup of coffee.
This wag has definitely taken the last train west.
You sure?
JB sipped the coffee, holding the tin cup in both hands to savor the warmth.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan stood and worked the bolt on his AK-47.
Triple red, people. The Blues would be fools not to sweep this area on a wreck first chance they get. They catch us standing here chatting, and it's the long sleep.
The tired expressions of the companions vanished in a heartbeat, and they drew weapons.
Dean, prep a law rocket.
The boy nodded and raced toward the APC. Her boots ringing on the metal floor, Christy walked through the APC and sat in the doorway. Behind her, Jack lay snoring peacefully amid the piles of supplies.
Okay, so we walk out of here. The question is, where? Do we continue on to Shiloh or the closest redoubt?
Dean was climbing into the wag.
Front Royal. We can get another wag there.
Doubtful.
Besides, my young friend, traveling anywhere on foot means we have to leave most of the supplies behind. A most dangerous proposition. Too many weapons will slow us and get us chilled just as fast as not enough.
Maybe we could rig a litter.
We're not leaving anything behind.
Kneeling by the dying red embers of the campfire, he poured a cup of coffee and drained it in a few gulps.
And we're not walking either. JB, let me see the map.
Digging in his bag, the armorer unearthed the folded plastic sheet and passed it over. Carefully spreading the map on the ground near the remains of the fire, Ryan flicked a butane lighter and read by the tiny flame. Aside from blasters, he considered butane lighters the greatest invention of the pre-dark world. 100 years later, and the thing still worked. Ryan jabbed a finger at the map.
Look at this. We can travel by water. North Carolina's damn near split in half with this river basin. We'll build a raft and row inland. Get us halfway to the next Shiloh, and only about 60 miles south of the redoubt in Kentucky. We can get more supplies and ammo there. Not much, but some.
And then what?
He scratched an ear.
Don't know. We can try and buy a wag or some horses from a local vill. Got more than enough spare blasters. And even if we don't find anything, the basin will still carry us a week of walking in 2 days.
Upstream?
Flat water. Easy stuff. No rapids or whitewater falls.
A raft? Dubious, sir. Most dubious.
Brushing back her beaded hair, Mildred looked up from the map.
We can do it. We've built them before.
Indeed we have, madam. But a raft large enough to hold all of the supplies? It would require 2, maybe 3 really big ones. Chopping down that many trees will take us a week, maybe more.
Suddenly, the chain gun roared into life, shattering the night. The companions dived for cover, digging into the beach, their weapons sweeping for targets, as a stuttering stream of 7.62-millimeter rounds sliced across the landscape and started tearing apart a tree. Bark flew off the trunk, splinters went everywhere, then there was a crack, and the oak dropped heavily to the ground. The chain gun stopped, followed by ringing silence. The top hatch swung open, and Dean rose into view.
We don't need axes. We can shoot down all the logs we want.
As he rose from the damp ground, Ryan's first reaction was fury, until he realized the cold common sense of the matter.
Good work, son. But next time, trim the top first, then cut out the bottom.
Sure, Dad.
But the noise? No, wait, skip that. We need to get the cutting done now before scouts arrive.
Exactly. And it makes no difference if we use all the ammo. Can't haul the chain gun or the cannon along. Both are too heavy.
Tilting back his fedora, JB gave a twisted grin.
That 25-millimeter cannon will level the forest in a few minutes. We'll have enough logs for an armada of rafts.
Even better. Doc, we have enough rope?
Certainly. And sufficient canvas for tents.
The tents would cover the supplies on the raft and keep them dry, and would hide exactly what the companions were hauling from observers. Many folks would eagerly risk death for the chance of getting their hands on a working blaster.
Sounds good. Dean, cut more trees. Keep going till I say stop. Doc, you're on sentry duty with me. Here.
Doc caught the AK-47 and checked the long blaster, while Ryan chambered a round into his Steyr SSG-70.
Christy, stand ready with the law. Shoot on sight. Mildred, make lots more coffee and stew. I'll dig a shallow pit to hide the flames.
JB poured a fresh cup of coffee while it was still warm.
And I'll start removing the tires from the LAV. Attached to the bottom of a raft, it'll triple our buoyancy, which means that much more ammo and food comes along for the ride.
Excellent.
Christy walked closer out of the darkness with the rocket launcher resting on his shoulder.
One good thing about this...
What's that?
As far as Ryan was concerned, they were standing on the gallows, just waiting for the noose.
At least we won't be encountering any landmines.
Hopefully. Okay, let's move with a purpose, people. It's a race against the clock now.
Falling. Forever falling. Down through infinity he plummeted, the burning star swirling around and around. Comets lancing out to pierce his naked flesh with white-hot heat. Red blood erupted from the ghastly wounds, then froze solid from the horrible cold. Desperately, he tried to draw breath and scream from the terrible pain, but there was no air, only the incredible